Small business, big deal. Today we look into the effect the pandemic is having on small business and what it means for our cities, towns, and the state at large. Welcome to Your New Mexico Government. I'm your host, Khalil A. Colonna. We have a ton of information and news to throw at you for the next 30 minutes. Words from the mayor of Albuquerque. We get the scoop on what's going on in the South Valley. We hear from a couple of cabinet secretaries. Like I said, a ton. First up, executive producer Marisa DeMarco has a news rundown of what we know today, Wednesday, April 8th, as of 5 p.m.
Saudi Arabia announced a ceasefire on Yemen for 2 weeks starting at noon tomorrow local time to try and prevent a coronavirus outbreak there. More than 100,000 people have died since 2014 in the course of that war, according to Al Jazeera. You may have heard by now that Bernie Sanders is dropping out of the presidential primary race after the virus made in-person campaign events impossible. In a speech today, he continued to call for Medicare for everyone, and not just during the pandemic. Millions of people in the United States didn't pay their rent last week, new stats are showing. Almost a third of renters couldn't make their payments. President Trump and Democrats in Congress are arguing over the size of the next relief bill, with Dems wanting it to be twice as big as Trump does. Health officials are saying that they hope with social distancing, the death toll in the United States will be around 60,000 instead of the 100,000 that they originally forecasted. So far, there have been over 14,500 deaths and 400,000 confirmed cases. The Washington Post is reporting that hundreds of people around the United States under the age of 50 have died from coronavirus, some without underlying health issues or compromised immune systems. In New Mexico, there were 72 new confirmed cases today, bringing the total to 865. Three more people have died, making the state's death toll 16. The Department of Health is reporting that more than 200 people in New Mexico have recovered. For folks who are self-employed in the state and who aren't getting unemployment, the state's Department of Workforce Solution is offering a $750 stimulus check to the first 2,000 applicants who qualify. For Your New Mexico Government, I'm Marisa DeMarco.
I'm here with Bianca Encinas. She's the executive director of the South Valley Main Street. Bianca, thank you for being with me today.
Oh, thank you for having us.
How are businesses in the South Valley feeling the effects of the stay-at-home order? Is it pretty much the same as everyone else, or are there special certain circumstances that make it different for businesses in the South Valley?
Well, I think that businesses in general, all small businesses, are being negatively impacted. And in particular, it's always been a struggle for South Valley businesses. This is kind of an extra blow for us because most people historically from the South Valley have gone into the city limits of Albuquerque to purchase their clothing, their groceries, and to frequent restaurants. And so what that means is all of that gross receipt tax revenue is going into the city of Albuquerque. We don't get that type of money to do infrastructure within the unincorporated area of the South Valley. The ripple effect that happens when you think about, okay, some of our small businesses that are in the South Valley, at their restaurants or childcare centers, when they're not able to conduct business, and not only does it impact them, but let's say they're renting the commercial space. So when a small business can't afford to pay their rent, then that impacts a local family who owns that property.
There's a lot of mom and pop stores and a lot of stores. I've been talking to small business owners in Albuquerque, and some of them do not feel that when the stay-at-home orders are lifted, that they are going to be able to open up again.
I think what one could logically assume is that the longer that the coronavirus pandemic is in existence, the more we're going to start to see small business close their doors. Now, we are starting to see tools, and I'm not saying they're perfect, right? We just saw the federal legislation that came out that created the CARES Act, which creates some forgivable grants and loans from paycheck protection to the emergency injury disaster loan and grants. There's a lot of challenges with the implementations of those programs. So I think it's a great idea. But like I said, there's a lot of challenges and a lot of our local banks and our corporate banks are being overwhelmed as well with applications. I think that they're great opportunities just as long as they can get implemented correctly and that people who really need them the most are the ones that benefit.
What can our listeners do to help?
One of the things that the New Mexico Economic Development has done is they created a new project called Buy New Mexico Local. And if you go to their website, businesses can register. They're encouraging people to purchase gift cards. That's why it's so important for a lot of our businesses in the southern portion of the South Valley, that honey lady that I was telling you, Bee's Honey, or we also have a guy who has a beef jerky company who doesn't have any internet presence as well either. That's why it's so important for them to create Facebooks or Instagram, and to also create an e-commerce website. And I just want to say, I myself am a small business owner, and I very clearly understand the challenges and have understood it for 10 years in a separate hat that I wear. But I really think that there's some great programs being developed. Implementation is always going to be a problem when you first develop a new project, and ensuring that our small mom-and-pop businesses are prioritized for those loans and those grants.
She's the executive director for South Valley Main Street, Bianca Encinas. Thank you so
much. Thank you.
Emily Esterson is a local publisher and business owner. She's here to talk about the effects of this crisis on her work and income.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me about the nature of your business.
So we create custom magazines, editing, writing, design, all the way through production, but we don't print.
Okay.
For a variety of different clients, museums, cultural institutions, nonprofits, and hotel tourism type clients.
Okay. Now, how has the pandemic impacted you and your business?
We're down about 70% right now. Whoa. So we still have one big client left and one small client. So that's good that we have something, but yeah, we're way down.
Losing 70% of your clientele is a huge blow. Now, do you think that you may be able to gain them back once this pandemic is ended?
Well, again, uncertainty. You know, I know from a business owner standpoint that I've cut a lot of expenses in the past 2 weeks, things that we, you know, kind of came to depend on, and services that we buy from other people, and we've cut those. And, you know, of course, my plan is to get my clients back, but they might have other priorities.
Yeah.
So what we do for them is, you know, is marketing, branding, and it's an important thing to do at this time. And we're specifically focused on print, which is, you know, a little bit of an anomaly, but something that works really well for our membership organizations. Mm-hmm. And we hope that they'll continue to feel the value of that.
Have you reached out to government officials about opportunities for businesses with small staff and loans?
Well, I have applied for the EIDL, which is the Economic Impact Disaster Loan through the SBA.
Mm-hmm.
I did that late last week and had a really interesting experience. I applied for the loan when the first time I did it. It was a PDF download that you then had to scan and sign.
Okay.
Sent that back in. Then a few days later, I heard through the grapevine that they had a new form. Of course, I never had any kind of confirmation that they received the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So I went ahead and filled out the second one, and then found out that that one had also changed, so filled out the form a third time. I'll tell you, I have had no communication at all. I have a control number, some kind of a confirmation number, but can't seem to find a place on the SBA website where you can look that number up and see what the process, where you are in the process.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty frustrating.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I did was the PPP, which is the Payroll Protection Program.
Mm-hmm.
Applied for that through my bank. That came open on Friday the 3rd, and I was online by 8:15. Applied for that, which was a very simple little form. And again, no confirmation email, no phone call, no you're in the system, nothing.
You apply for the loans that they are urging people to apply for. It's the only emergency relief available, yet you get barely a confirmation number, and there's no one contacting you to let you know the status of it. So you have to wait. You don't know if you're waiting 2 days. You don't know if you're waiting 2 weeks. You don't know if you're waiting to the end of the month to get any sort of funds. We're going to have to look this up. Is there any way on these websites to contact someone, a phone number, anything?
So when you call the bank, you get dropped into the endless loop of automated programming.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hit zero, whatever, nothing happens. The SBA has a phone number, but of course it says, you know, we have extremely high call volumes and you can wait forever.
Yeah.
You can send an email into the abyss again with your control number on it. Nothing happens. Yeah, so you don't know. You don't even know. I mean, this isn't even the application part of the loan. This is just the, like, I do need this money part of the loan, not the here are my business forms and here are my documents and paperwork and all of that. And of course, anybody who's ever applied for a loan knows that these things are not instantaneous. No. You know, they take a while. You've got to gather the right documentation. You've got to go through the process. So to me, what's stunning about this is that when they set this up, didn't they know that they would be overwhelmed? Yeah. I knew they would be overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Didn't they know that they would have to set up a system and that the funding that they provided would not be nearly enough?
Yeah.
You know, for all the people who need it.
I want to thank you so much for being on the show, and good luck to you, okay?
You too.
If you try to call the Economic Development Department, you will find a very busy office as they work to help New Mexico businesses survive the shutdown. EDD Director Alicia Keys is here to tell us all about resources. Secretary Keys, thanks for being with me.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
Tell me, what steps is your department taking to ease the burden on small businesses during this very, very worrisome time?
Obviously, a few weeks ago, we were able to get our state and all of the counties here designated as a disaster zone. So we were able to apply for the U.S. SBA funding. The rollout on that has been difficult at best for a number of reasons. So we're looking for that to iron itself out in hopefully the next few days, because this money is on a first-come, first-served basis. And we definitely want to see New Mexico companies participating in that relief. Here in the state, we've put together two programs. One is where the state acts as a guarantor. We call it the COVID-19 Loan Guarantee Program.
Okay.
Businesses here can apply for a low-interest loan through their participating lender, and then the state acts as a guarantor for the loan. So where we haven't seen that SBA money flowing yet, we have seen over 30 companies apply through our department for that Loan Guarantee Program. And then the second program we put in place was utilizing what we have, our LEDA funds, which are funds that are designated by the legislature each year for us to do expansion and retention. And so we've been able to use some of these funds to do no interest loans. We can only do that for manufacturing companies or small retailers and communities with a population of less than 10,000. So it's a little bit more limited, but these loans can be used for expenditures for land and building and infrastructure. We've also put together a website, which is Buy for Tomorrow Today. And it's by nmlocal.com. And this is a website where businesses can register their companies and offer through their PayPal accounts vouchers for services in the future. So a lot of people here in New Mexico want to help out, and they're sitting in their homes and they don't know how to do it. Log on to that website, purchase a voucher for a meal or a massage or a yoga session or a bicycle or whatever to help these local small businesses in New Mexico stay afloat during this time.
Yeah.
We're also really just digging in and trying to figure out how we can get the federal stimulus money to New Mexico.
And that's what I wanted to ask you. What is, according to your knowledge, what is the holdup in the rollout with the SBA funding?
Okay, so a few things. Let's start with the first thing is, this is obviously an unprecedented event.
Yes.
And they just were not prepared for something like this. There have been issues with IT, websites crashing, not only for companies, but for lenders. So it's just kind of gearing up and getting enough people working. The other issue that we are hearing from the lenders is that some of the guidelines with regards to the forgivable loan portion of the SBA grant, those guidelines weren't issued until last evening, and we still have another set of guidelines to come out. And I think that the lenders in New Mexico are just a little bit nervous that the same thing that happened in 2008 is going to happen to them now. So they're wanting a guarantee that the SBA is going to stand behind these loans.
And they're not getting information from them.
It's, you know, it's hard to tell right now. What we know is that the system right now in New Mexico is not working, and we're all trying to get it to work. From the state level, we've been on the phone with the federal delegation, who have been awesome, just to put some pressure on to see if we can get this money moving. We have heard that it's moving other places, and we know that the big banks like Bank of America and Wells Fargo have reached their limit of what they're allowed to do, which is frightening. I haven't heard of anyone who banks with those companies here in New Mexico getting that.
Okay.
So, and I know that those limits were put in place for good reason, in the sense that it would allow the smaller locally owned banks to also make loans. Mm-hmm. But what's happening right now is that our companies who are here, who are banking with those banks, now don't have a bank, and there are other lenders who are just not taking on new clients for a myriad of reasons. This is the situation we are in right now. We are going to do anything and everything we can on a state level, but the bulk of the funds that are going to come to businesses in New Mexico are going to come from the federal side.
Okay. And like you said, there's going to be a holdup on that. I spoke with a small business owner earlier who expressed a lot of frustration and consternation about the application process and just getting back some information to know what next steps to take.
Mm-hmm.
The longer this goes on, the more confusion, the more deadly it becomes for small businesses.
Exactly. And we've heard the same thing. And what we are telling people is just be vigilant, to keep on applying. We know that those websites are going down and crashing, but just keep on trying to find a lender. We have listed the lenders that are approved by the SBA that are actually participating. You can call us. We have our website is goinm.biz. You know, we are keeping businesses abreast of the lenders that we hear are taking on new clients. We're really trying to do as much as we can on the state level to help companies access those federal dollars.
I understand. And as you said earlier, as everyone I've interviewed says, you know, none of us saw this coming. We didn't expect it. So we're trying to put out a lot of fires simultaneously. And I want to thank you for all the work that you're doing for the entire state and small businesses. This secretary is on fire. Secretary Alicia Keys, thank you so much for being with me.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
This is Your New Mexico Government. I'm your host, Khalil A. Colonna. We're covering the way the virus and health measures are impacting people differently around the state. Stay tuned in every weeknight at 7:30 p.m. You can find all of those episodes online at KUNM.org. Your New Mexico Government is turning its attention to ICE detention facilities, migrants, and refugees. We're hearing from folks about what they're experiencing and how people are being treated. Tune in at 7:30 p.m. tomorrow for conversations with advocates, lawyers, and congresspeople. COVID-19 put close signs on the doors of businesses across the state, but taxes are still due. Taxation and Revenue Department Secretary Stephanie Chardon-Clark is with us today. Tell me, what steps is your department taking to ease the burden on small businesses in the state at this time?
The first steps we took were to extend the deadlines for payment and filing of many New Mexico taxes. The main ones that have been extended are the deadlines for personal income tax, corporate income tax, and then withholding tax, which is also known as payroll tax. And all of those have been extended by about 3 months to allow businesses as well as individuals more time to file and pay.
That's going to help out people a lot. Now, question for you. Say the governor reissues a stay-at-home order for longer. Is the department prepared to extend the time period of these accommodations?
I think everything's on the table, and we can certainly look at that. Right now, the payments are due in July. If we get much later than that, then we start shifting the fiscal year for the state's budget in which the payments are received, so it can start to have an impact on the state's budget, and we want to be careful about that. But certainly, if by July there's still unrest in the economy and businesses are still struggling, I think we'll have to look at that.
Okay. Now, why would that be problematic going into the new fiscal year?
So the state budget's on a fiscal year basis, and to be able to count revenue in the fiscal year that ends June 30th, we have to receive it and process it by the end of August. So if we don't receive that money in time to process it by the end of August, then it falls into the next budget year, and that affects the reserves that the state ended the current fiscal year with. And that can have effects on our bond rating and just our ability to close from an accounting perspective.
Yeah, that puts us very, very behind. And that would not be good for us at all.
Right. And the amount of money that we've extended through PIT, SIT, and withholding, just depending on how many taxpayers take advantage of those extensions, we're talking about over $800 million of cash flow change to the state. So we have to be mindful of that.
Okay. Now, Congress recently passed a $2 trillion stimulus package. I spoke with a small business owner that claims she's having trouble getting information from loans offered from the SBA. And I thought I would ask the state officials. She's gone through the process a few times and she hasn't been contacted. If she's going through that, I'm sure other small business owners are going through that.
Yeah, that's concerning. And maybe what we could do is we could exchange that contact information and I can make sure that the right department gets in touch with her to provide her some assistance.
I will be happy to do that. She is the Taxation and Revenue Cabinet Secretary, Stephanie Chardon Clark. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Khalil. I really appreciate the opportunity.
We spoke with Albuquerque Mayor Tim Keller a few days ago about businesses that are violating the state's order to shut down and also about helping local businesses.
First, the state is handling all enforcement of the state orders. However, we're trying to step up in areas where we know there's like a real emergent public health need. So if there's any mass gathering, the city is stepping in just to break those up. And also flagrant businesses, we've seen this sometimes with smoke shops, massage parlors, they're not supposed to be open. If we warn them first through our planning department, then the fire marshal, then APD will just shut them down. We're also trying to, you know, let folks know, like, just because you put candy bars on the counter doesn't mean you're a grocery store. So there is a definition of that. It's 50% of your operating square footage has to be for food. And if you don't meet that category, this isn't a game to be doing an end around on. This is serious. And so we will shut you down.
Yeah. So the process is they get a call, fire marshal, then APD.
You got it. You get a couple of warnings first, then you get cited, and then we will physically block off your building.
Okay. And down the road, are there ways that we can help preserve some of these businesses that are really the lifeline of what Albuquerque is about?
First, we're trying to fill in the gaps. And I know federally and statewide, there's like all sorts of loan programs out there. So if that's helpful, folks should do that. We're trying to recognize the fact that sometimes people literally just need some financial support directly. So we're doing grant support. So we established a micro business fund. This is for our small businesses under five people. And we will just give you $5,000 just to keep you afloat. So we did that last week. We did $500,000 available. That's 100 businesses and over 1,000 applied within just a few days. So we know the need is huge. We're trying to find some other emergency funding we can use for this. So we'll be announcing that later in the week. But that's one way we're trying just to cut through all the red tape and the details. It's like, you know what, we're just going to give you a check to get you by for another month. The other thing we're looking at is we're trying to keep construction going. Because that is a huge, especially working families, a lot of blue collar folks. We moved up $70 million worth of construction projects that were supposed to happen this year. We're pushing them all up into the next 3 months. Individually, look, you know, as much as you can, shop local, get a lot of takeout, buy gift cards, and even look for like community food boxes and so forth with respect to even supporting local ag culture. All of this is a couple of Google searches away. So anything you can do to help local businesses right now is, I think, part of our calling as part of the stay home order.
We're all stuck in the house. Some people can't wait to head to their favorite bar, a place where everybody knows their name. Sean Gay, general manager for the Albuquerque Press Club, joins the show.
Thanks for having me, Cole.
So let me ask you, how are you, friends and family, feeling? Is everybody doing well?
Everyone's doing well. You know, we're all just trying to maintain social distancing. And I generally live with my grandma and my aunt, and they're a little older. So, you know, they're just staying in the house, making sure that they don't get any exposure.
The Albuquerque Press Club, it's a private club that centers around a full bar. How does that private club designation make you all different from other bars?
You know, at first, I think our board really thought that it would exempt us. And you know, a lot of people have reached out to us and been like, oh, you guys are still open because you're a private club and you don't have to adhere. But it does not exclude us from any of the rules. At first, it was you can't have anybody at the bar. Nobody can be served standing. No parties of six or greater. And those all still applied to us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, within 2 days, that changed to a complete closure of the bars.
Do you feel like the longer this goes, it's really going to potentially do damage to the ability of the press club to bounce back?
You know, I think it'll be really good in the sense that people are going to need to get out. People are going to need to be out, and they're going to need an excuse to be out. Mm-hmm. That'll help small businesses and bars, because right now we're not making any money. Yeah. And a lot of people are going to close down even. And as a bartender, you think people come to a bar to have a drink. That's what they're there for. But what I'm starting to see is that people need like therapy. You know what I mean? People need a therapist, and we're a very cheap form of therapy. You know what I mean? You're not paying some shrink $130 an hour to do what we do for them. You know, they come in, they relay their problems to us. We give them advice. And even if it's not the bartender's job, they're surrounded by their friends, and they provide that for them. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's going to be very vital for people when they come out of this.
That community aspect of being in camaraderie with one another while they imbibe on a drink or two. Are you hearing anything from other people who work at bars, other bartenders, about the future, what it holds for them, their workplaces, and themselves?
I think everyone right now is really just trying to keep their hopes high. My concern is, like, there's a few major venues that have opened. It's called the Sawmill. Mm-hmm. Is that, if I'm correct? That one just opened, like, within, like, 1 to 2 weeks before this all happened.
Yeah.
And those are huge venues, and the overhead on those kind of places is not small.
I want to thank you very much for being on the show. Appreciate it. He's Sean Gay, General Manager of the Albuquerque Press Club. Hopefully soon I can order a drink from you, my friend.
Thanks for having me on, Khalil. Right. You have a good one. Stay safe out there.
Thanks. You too, man. Shout out to all the small businesses around the whole state. The federal government put some relief for you into that $2 trillion package. Have you heard from your state, city, or county officials about that cash? YNMG wants to know. Call 505-218-7084 and share your story, or email us at yournmgov@gmail.com. Time for a list of the resources we heard about on today's episode. If you're in New Mexico and you're looking for a loan to stay afloat, the state will act as a guarantor through the COVID-19 Loan Guarantee Program. Manufacturers and retailers in communities that are smaller than 10,000 can access the state's LEDA funds right now. You can do that too. Find out about both of those programs at gonm.biz. They've got all kinds of resources, and they are there for local businesses. And you can buy for tomorrow today at buynmlocal.com. Small businesses in Albuquerque with less than 5 employees can also look for the city's micro grant fund. Those are $5,000 grants, not loans. You don't have to pay those back. Mayor Tim Keller says they're trying to find more cash for that fund, so stay tuned and go to cabq.gov for more information. You can find a full list of the resources we talk about on each episode and opportunities to donate online at bit.ly/YNMGHub. Want to thank all the guests who took time out of their day to be on our show. We truly appreciate it. And let me close with this. These are unprecedented times. None of us are taking this easily. It's hard work for people. We are working hard to inform you. People are working hard to help you. It's something that we all must do for each other. Your New Mexico Government is executive produced by Marisa DeMarco. It's produced by yours truly. News update by Marisa DeMarco. A very stupid amount of props goes to Bryce Dix for putting in editing work. Thanks again, my friend. And the theme music is done by Pope. Yes, yes, y'all. You can hear us all week long on KUNM's airwaves at 7:30 p.m. Online, find the show on KUNM.org or subscribe through iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Your New Mexico Government is a collaboration between KUNM, New Mexico PBS, and the Santa Fe Reporter. Funding for our coverage is provided in part by the Thornburg Foundation and the New Mexico Local News Fund. For everyone here at Your New Mexico Government, I'm Khalil A. Colonna. Thanks for listening.